Thought Bubble Audio.
Hi, and welcome to Supergirl TV Talk, the podcast devoted to the CBS TV show Supergirl. I'm Frank, and with me, as always, is the most dangerous escaped convict from Fort Roz, Tim.
It's a good intro. I like that. I'm the most dangerous escapee, huh? All right. Well, my first act as escaping is got a podcast with you.
Wow. That was the IC. You misdirected me there.
Pastime.
I know. Mm. Yeah. That was okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was going to be more like the stakes would be higher there.
But you don't know what's going to happen in the midst of this podcast.
I guess I don't. Yeah. Well, we'll have to see. I will tell you this. We have some great follow-up from our listeners.
Oh, yes. Good.
Yeah. I mean, we thank you guys so much for listening to our first, real episode last week about the pilot. And this week we are back for Stronger Together, episode 2, Supergirl.
We are stronger.
Sing it.
Than yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a couple of different songs running through my head.
I like where you went with that, though.
Thank you.
That was good. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So a lot of emails, so many, some about last week's episode. I think we should kind of clear out the mailbag. You know, we still can't, we don't have time to read all of them, but thank you all so much. If you want to hear your feedback right on the show, supergirltvtalk@gmail.com. First one from listener Tim, not you, different Tim. Tim
didn't send you an email.
You did
our own
not.
Show.
All right. Tim wrote to say he enjoyed our interview with Helen Slater, adding that she made him a Supergirl fan back in 1984. And he's been waiting for this show, Supergirl show, for 31 years.
Oh,
since Helen Slater graced Grace Green. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, pretty cool that he's been a fan since way back of our podcast. I mean, since 31 years ago, before we even had a podcast.
Smart.
You know, like that's a super fan to really like our podcast before it even existed.
Before I existed,
yeah,
before you existed,
that's true. That is
before
true.
This whole universe. No, yeah. That's not right.
No, but seriously, thanks, Tim. We had a blast talking to Helen Slater, and we were glad you appreciated
we did.
It. So, Red 5 wrote in. Red 5 standing
Say by.
Bye.
Good.
Yes. He had some follow up on last week's podcast. We were talking about, why was Alex upset that Kara revealed herself and the DEO came after her and everything? Like, why was she so upset about it, right?
Right.
He thinks the reason Alex didn't want Kara to reveal herself was because the DEO knew that the Fort Roz villains would seek revenge on Allura's daughter. Once they knew she was alive. So kind of exposing herself, and now she's kind of, opening Pandora's box, box being Fort Roz. But he did add that you'd think they would have figured out by now more creative ways to spend their time, after escaping the Phantom Zone. Presumably they've been here a while since she got here, and only now are they coming out of the woodwork. So that is.
Are they only now? See, this is interesting. Are they only now coming out of the woodwork, or this is really just Kara is the like she is the the audience at the same time? So is she? Are they really coming out of the woodwork?
So they've been out there.
Because I would argue that, yeah, because maybe Superman has fought a couple of them.
Okay, that's a fair
question. Because the DEO isn't newly formed, right?
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, they're already hunting them. So maybe they're not newly coming out of the world.
Okay, that's an interesting point. And maybe it has something to do with Astra, though. Like, maybe if they are coming out of the woodwork, maybe it's Astra doing something, pulling strings behind the scenes.
That's
that
true.
Is. And that was also Red 5's point, was maybe Astra has something to do with that. So.
Good point.
That's could go either way.
Yeah.
But that's you raise an interesting point there where they might have just been around all this time, but it's only the dots are only being connected now as to they're all from Fort Roz.
Right.
Could
okay.
be. Cool. Justin in Fresno, California crunched some numbers for us. We were talking about Kara's age, Superman's
good.
Age. He thinks Kara is around 26 and Superman is around 38. So let's follow his logic here.
Respectable ages.
Yep. Yeah. So Cal and Kara both leave at the same time.
Yep.
Right? Kara is about 13. Mm-hmm. Cal is no more than 1 year old, right?
Right.
At most. So Kara gets trapped in the Phantom Zone for 24 years without aging.
Mm-hmm.
Without aging, that's key. But Cal gets to Earth and ages at 24 years.
Okay.
So now he's 24, 25. Because he's aged at 24 years, right?
Okay.
Okay. By the time she gets to Earth, she's still 13. But now he's 25-ish.
Okay.
Right. So now we fast forward another 13 years to the present day. So now she's 26 and add 13 to his 25, and now he's 38.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you really want to count age, like true age, she's been alive for, you know, 40 some odd years, because 24 years without aging.
Right.
But in terms of where she, I wouldn't count it that way, because she doesn't have 47 years or whatever it is of, like,
experience.
She was asleep for 24 of them, so it's like it didn't happen.
I'll say she's still,
she didn't mature over that time. She didn't grow, you know, so she.
I take that. That's good. And that actually, in its own way, explains, I mean, from a, I guess from a storytelling standpoint, but then even from a company standpoint, that you don't, in the pilot, you don't see Superman's face. You know, it's just that he's shrouded in shadow with the sun, with it, he's backlit. And so, but if it's been 13 years since that moment where he rescues her, he wouldn't really look that way anymore. So he'd look a little older. And so, not too much, because they age slower, but old enough that maybe you would cast a little bit of an older actor if Superman was ever to show up.
True. That is a very good point. Mm-hmm. It also explains why his wrists were so skinny.
It does.
He was a little baby Superman.
He did have skinny wrists.
Yeah. But thank you, Justin, for sending us that. Garan writes, I feel as though we just witnessed the beginning of a new era. So many little girls and even some little boys just found someone incredible to look up to. The show was everything that it needed to be, and it was incredible. Thrilled beyond words by how this pilot turned out. We agree.
Mm-hmm, indeed.
I don't want to speak for you, Tim, but I think we both agree.
Oh, you speak for me quite frequently, Frank. I want to call out to work, I call you to call in
that
for
is
me.
How it works.
You speak for me.
Yeah. Luke asks, why Kryptonese? Like, what, instead of Kryptonian, why did they just do it to be different, or what? I actually wrote back to Luke, because I did look it up real quick. So the word Kryptonese actually was the original name for the language, going back to the 70s.
Okay.
E. Nelson Bridwell, the comics writer, coined that term and came up with, like, a fake Kryptonese written language.
Mm-hmm.
And that was used even for a while, like with the John Byrne reboot and everything.
Yep.
And then in the 90s and 2000s, they switched to what is now like the Kryptonian alphabet, that everything is like a one-for-one you know, analog to the English alphabet. And then they started calling it Kryptonian. But Kryptonese is like a historical...
historically original...
Yeah, so there is some history to it. It's not like they made it up for the show, it turns out.
I had heard it, and I had heard it in comics before. That's
me too.
That's interesting.
I think it very much depends on the writer who wants to use which term. A lot of fans nowadays use the word Kryptonian, or some of them use Kryptonian to mean the people and Kryptonese to mean the language.
Right, that's how I'm taking it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think they've said Kryptonian in other applications in the show.
They have.
But Kryptonese, she said that one time for...
That's right.
Yeah. So that was interesting. Good question, Luke.
Mm-hmm.
So
Luke, if you ever find your father, let us know.
Yeah, exactly. One last one for today. Corinne wrote us a really beautiful email, and it was, she said some really great things. I really wanted to highlight, she says she was worried coming into the pilot because she felt that the Kara of recent comics wasn't really her Kara, was kind of lacking the hope and compassion she likes to see in the character. And then she says the 6-minute trailer we saw back in, like, what, May?
Mm-hmm.
The 6-minute trailer brought her to tears, and she was totally sold on it. She was excited about Melissa Benoist. And she goes on to say, Melissa Benoist is perfect, and I could not see anyone else doing any better on than she is. This is my Kara again, the one I've been missing for the last few years. This is the Kara that Sterling Gates captured so well in his run on the character and the title, the Kara that Paul Kupperberg molded into a brilliant, independent young woman, the Kara that Marv Wolfman made me fall in love with all those many years ago. So that was just so, you know, really beautiful and touching, that Corinne has such a attachment to the character. So,
great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great. Glad that the show fulfilled.
Exactly.
Because nothing hurts more than watching some of your favorite characters just get decimated.
Exactly.
On screen.
Yeah. Seeing something you're really excited for and then it just doesn't live up to your expectations.
Right.
And there's nothing more exciting than having it live up to those expectations. Mm-hmm. So thanks, Corinne. Thanks to all of you guys for your emails. You know, major shout out to all of you who wrote in, and we'll read more next week. We do read every email that you send us.
Sure do.
We just can't always read them all on the show. But thank you so much for writing in, and please keep writing in. You know, just because we maybe didn't read your email this week doesn't mean we won't read one next week. So please keep at it. Again, you send your thoughts to supergirltvtalk@gmail.com if you want to hear your emails read on the show. And we appreciate it so much.
Indeed.
You want to talk some quick news?
Yeah, tell me some news.
All right.
You know me.
I do. Yeah. So you do know that Supergirl premiered as the number one new show of the fall.
I did hear such things. I heard rumblings about this in the little hallways.
16 million viewers.
That's excellent.
It totally, it crushed like all the other competition for the night. Amazing ratings.
Supergirl crush.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing. It's awesome. I remember going back. I mean, this will happen, right? Where the ratings will be amazing right out the gate. I remember Heroes, when it first premiered, the first season of Heroes, mm-hmm. got like 14, 15 million viewers, and that was also, amazing. And that show did quite well for quite a while there. This week, it did
Let us not bestow the finality of Heroes on.
Well, it came back.
It's back. Yeah, it's there.
I'm liking it. It's good.
Gave up, but that's
another, awesome.
That's
I love it. But anyway, that's another podcast. Listen to 10th Wonder Podcast for that. But this week's ratings took a bit of a dip. It's around 8 million. We haven't seen the live plus DVR yet, mm-hmm. so hopefully they're saying that's going to be a pretty big boost. But still, respectable. It was second place for the night with episode 2, Stronger Together. So
I think it tied with Blind Spot.
I think it lost out slightly.
Okay.
That's what I saw.
I saw a tie, but
okay.
It was a comic book news site, and so maybe it was a little slanted.
I just looked at like Zap2It's like TV ratings grid.
Got it.
And it was
that makes more sense.
A close second.
Yeah.
A close second. But yeah, so incredible numbers. We have to keep it going. And so on that note, right now the show is picked up for 13 episodes.
Right.
Right. So, which is pretty standard. You get your 13 episode pickup, after the pilot. In this case, it was 13 episode order before the pilot even aired. And we're trying to get the back nine, right? Nine more episodes.
Right.
That bring the total up to 22. But in order to do that, the ratings need to be there, right? CBS needs to feel like the ratings are there and the show has got staying power. And it's sticking around. So the ways we can do that is, watching the show helps. It is, in particular, helps if you're a Nielsen family, right? Because that's where the ratings actually come
right.
from. But even if you're not, watch the show and tweet about it to drum support and tell other people about it. Buy the season passes on iTunes and places like that. Mm-hmm. Paying for it, watching it in ways where you're actually watching the ads, especially if you DVR it and you watch the ads, or you watch it the next day on CBS All Access or something like that. Make sure that you're actually not like skipping ads and stuff like that, especially in DVRs, because that does make a difference. If you're watching within the first 24, 48 hours after it airs and you watch all the ads, that especially helps. So we want to make sure we get the full 22 episode pickup.
Do you know how this works? So I usually wait about 30 seconds mm-hmm. and then start playing it as my recorded DVR, and then I fast forward to the live section, but I'm still on the DVR. Does that count as a DVR recording?
I think it counts. I'm not sure. That probably counts for that would definitely count as DVR, because you're not a Nielsen family,
right.
So they don't know what your live
right. They don't
performance
know my live performance
right.
is.
Right.
Yeah. Aha.
Yeah. There you go.
System trick.
System. Yeah. So, maybe. So, yeah. But they can. I'm not sure with DVR. In fact, if someone does know, please let us know, because I was trying to find a solid answer on this, but I couldn't find it. I'm not sure if DVR numbers count if you're a Nielsen family or not. And it should be a surprisingly simple question, but I was not able to find a solid answer online. So let me know.
I think Hollywood is simple, Frank.
I know. Let's talk about somebody awesome. This episode of Supergirl TV Talk is brought to you in part by Supergirl.tv. It's the web's destination for all the news, rumors, and even spoilers for Supergirl itself. It's one of our top sources for up-to-the-minute Supergirl news, and we think you'll love it too. Visit the site to learn and stay up to date on everything happening with the show, including interviews and TV appearances with the cast. They were just on The Talk on CBS earlier this week, and we saw that on Supergirl.tv. There's also casting rumors and news, and episode image galleries are going up every week as the new episodes come out. CBS is releasing these image galleries. Supergirl.tv is quick to be posting them. And, of course, there's also spoilers about pivotal plot points and what's coming up next. Best of all, Supergirl.tv is advertisement-free. It's by fans. It's for fans. It's a labor of love. All fans are also welcome to come by and join the live chat and the forum communities. Great places to geek out with your Supergirl friends. Plus, follow the site on Twitter at Supergirl TV site for some great up-to-the-minute updates, no matter where you are, no matter when. And it's a lot of fun. It's a great community to be part of. We're really proud to be part of it. Thank you to Supergirl.tv for sponsoring this episode of Supergirl TV Talk. So, do we have an episode to cover?
Do we?
We do.
I watched it.
You watched it too?
I did.
Oh, man. It's so funny. We've been doing this podcast since January, and here we are finally, and we have like an actual show to talk about, and it's like, oh man, it's only the second time. We've been doing it for so long, but it's only the second time we actually have an episode to talk about.
I had the thought when I was watching it yesterday. I was like, wow, this is like new footage.
Yeah.
Like, I'm seeing her do different things than I've seen for the past year.
We're not just watching the same shot of her, like, taking off and jumping off the building.
Exactly.
And,
yeah, it was a little like, whoa, so this is, like, real now. It's weird. I've never had a reaction quite like that in a show before where I'm like, so I'm watching this character do different things. Right. Yeah. You don't even get that in a movie sometimes.
It's true, isn't it?
Because even with like a, you know, different directors come in, aesthetic styles change, and all this stuff. But when you're watching a TV show, it's pretty much consistent all the way through. And so I was kind of like, hey, this is like a thing that's happening. All right. I was watching with my friend and he was like, yeah, obviously it's a thing that's happening.
It's just like, Sweet. Well, whatever. I just watched those trailers so many times.
Yep.
So we start 1 week since Supergirl kind of came out to the world, right? It's 1 week later. And she is being tested by the DEO.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool. It's not because she's a woman.
It's not because she's a woman.
Nope.
It's because she's an alien.
Thank you, Hank Henshaw. Yep. So I did, before we go in, so I have a tally. I have a tally at the top.
I thought you were going to say you have Italian, and I was like, I'm not really hungry. We just ate, but thank you.
Yeah. There's still some in my fridge.
Oh, okay.
So I have a tally of all the times we get Superman-related things, and I tallied it off.
Oh, did you really?
Because last week it was like, okay, you said, now I know the show's about Supergirl, but I just like, it feels weird when you're dodging around something when it's just like,
yeah,
there's my cousin,
when it's just
and
like
him,
the elephant
the
in the room.
It's the elephant in the room. And so this week they completely pointed out the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
And they did it a lot.
A lot.
Yeah. It was almost like you're saying his name quite a bit. Like, now I've gone the opposite direction and I'm like, it's a little too much.
Yeah. You
know? Like, show's about Supergirl. People are like, let's pick it up.
Yeah. I mean, she keeps saying, like, this is my story. Like,
yeah.
Come on.
Like, yeah. So I got one tick for Man of Steel.
Okay. That's one tick
for Clark Kent, which is very exciting.
Very exciting.
Very exciting. And I've got 7 ticks for Superman.
They actually said Superman.
Man, they said Superman seven times.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Any, like, I don't remember. Did they say, like, the big guy or the other guy? Or,
yeah, they said the cousins. And
The only time
I heard anything other than that, I think your friend in blue.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
And then the Man of Steel.
Right. And Lois Lane. They said Lois Lane, too.
Did they? I missed that. Oh, I totally missed that.
Yeah, Cat Grant said Clark Kent, Lois Lane would have.
Perry White.
She said Perry White, too.
Perry
that's
White
right. Yeah.
Anyway, so let's go back to the episode.
Good stuff. Good tally.
Yeah. And so she broke the sound barrier, which is super exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And my first reaction was, "Oh, somebody's got to pay for that."
I know, right? Like, broken glass.
It's like an adult reaction. Like,
but it's a DEO. It's a government agency. Whatever.
I'm sure they're loaded in money.
Yeah,
as is the government.
Right.
Right.
That
no,
we pay for.
Absolutely not. Yep. Right.
I'd say the visual
you pay
effects.
For.
I
mean,
do.
Wait.
Yeah, wait.
Just kidding.
That's tax evasion.
Just kidding.
The visual effects are way better, I feel like, right out. Like, especially the flying effects.
You thought they were better this week?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Even with stopping the plane and all that stuff?
I'm not saying that they did cooler things. I'm saying that the effects, when there were effects, they looked better.
Oh, interesting.
They looked more realistic.
Oh.
The flying in particular, I noticed, because, like, last week, I feel like she would just always look like she was hanging from wires. Like, it was kind of conspicuous in a lot of... And a lot like close-up shots of her and stuff. I was like, it's just I can see the wire work.
See, that's funny because this episode was one, especially at the beginning, I felt like you could see a bunch of like I just felt
you could
like,
feel it.
I could feel it.
Interesting.
As the episode went on, I felt it less.
Okay,
but I mean, like, what are you gonna do?
Yeah,
she is hanging from wires.
I mean, she is. Yeah, and there was a moment later that was obvious, but yeah. And she's already answering, like, she's answering to Supergirl, right? She does that exchange with Henshaw where she's like, mm-hmm. "I do answer to Supergirl," you know. And I like that when she like leaves the DEO, cause she hears about the fire and it's like a routine thing, right? She's like, oh, they're like, oh, there's a fire. You gotta go answer it. She's like, all right, cool. Like it's, she's in the hero thing already.
Yeah.
Faster than you've ever seen like Superman do it. God knows Smallville took us 10 years before he even ripped the shirt.
Right.
You know, even Flash, I feel like took a couple episodes to get like to the point where he was doing routine.
Well, he wasn't even called the Flash for the first couple
episodes.
If
That's
you
right.
remember.
Yeah.
I mean, it took 4 years for the Green Arrow to be called the Green Arrow on Arrow. And
that's
it took
true.
About 4 or 5 episodes for Flash to be called Flash. And now we're just in, it's one, it's Supergirl.
Yeah.
Done. You're dealing with it. Let's go.
It's like, I mean, it's like the Berlanti way is just like jump right in. Mm-hmm. Let's just do it. And he's getting quicker
but he's getting quicker every single
with
time.
With each of them. Yeah.
The team forms faster. The names come faster. The outfit comes faster. Like, it's all very quick.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Because that's really what people want to see, too.
Right.
I watched 10 years of Smallville for him to get a suit, and I didn't even see him in the whole stupid thing.
That's
so
true, yeah.
You know, like, none of that nonsense. Yeah, so... So I like this idea that this episode is about Supergirl failing all over the place.
Yes.
That... I like that aspect of, like, yes, she's out of the gate, but she's not exactly what she is. So the symbol on her chest, somebody says later that, you know... The symbol means something. It might be Jimmy James. I can't remember. But there's something about like the symbol meaning something, and maybe she's not ready to wear it. Oh, it's Cat Grant.
Cat Grant
says
yes.
She's not ready to wear it. I actually wrote down. I said Supergirl fails learning curve, and then later in the like a half an hour later, Cat Grant's like it's a learning curve.
She needs to use those words. Yes, that's right.
Me and Cat Grant.
That's right.
Hanging out.
Yeah,
my buddy.
Themes in this episode, like the title itself was said a couple of times. Stronger together.
Yep. Ding, take a drink.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But really, the theme of the episode was you can't do it alone. Sometimes you need help, and it's okay. She said on Krypton, it's honorable to ask for help. You know, and it's okay to want help. So
it's
like
convenient
the way
that
planet
sees
right?
it as the opposite. Yeah.
but think about like and that was apparent throughout. Like she is trying to do it alone and she's failing and she's not mastering her powers. Right? She tries to blow out the fire and makes it worse and then she causes an oil spill and all this stuff. Whenever she tries to do it alone, she messes up. Mm-hmm. But when she brings in Jimmy and Wynn, you know, then she has a team behind her and it's a team effort and she's able to succeed because she's asking for help or she needs it.
Right. It's good.
So that, and that's just one of the, I mean, we'll cover more, but that's just one of the many places.
Indeed.
We got Maxwell Lord.
Yes, we did. Did we? Yes, we did. I have something before that, but it's
okay.
Okay,
cool.
No,
go for it.
No,
go for it.
Talk
go
about
for
Maxwell Lord because it's in the same scene. Doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I mean, just a quick cameo by him. We're going to see more of him later in the season, I believe,
right.
But.
That was one place said Superman, by the way.
Oh, that's right. You're right. Yes. He was talking
Superman,
about all the.
He said Superman.
So the onslaught of like alien violence in Metropolis. Mm-hmm.
That's right. And so that was cool to see him, kind of Maxwell Lordy, you know, Maxwell Lord.
Lording it over us.
Yeah, comics. He was the founder of Justice League International.
That's right.
And then he was a good guy for decades.
Decades.
And then he ended up being a bad guy.
Womp womp. So we'll see where they take him.
Powers. So we'll see where that goes. I did write in here, in a comic book, most of the time, when you see someone show up and they say, Maxwell Lord cleans up this, or, you know, humanitarian. Humanitarian equals evil.
Yes.
Like, humanitarians are always evil
so
in comic books.
Because Lex Luthor's a humanitarian.
Right, you can never trust the humanitarians.
Right.
You never see Bruce Wayne being like, yeah, you know, I'm just cleaning up the oil. Like,
no, he's a billionaire playboy who's like, everyone thinks he's a jerk. They write him off.
Right, and sometimes he gives to charity and all that stuff, but it's not like his main shtick. It's quietly, right. And that's the trick. That's where they trick you.
It's always the opposite with the villains, right? They act good when they're bad, and they act
the wolf in sheep's clothing.
Yeah, but even like Bruce Wayne, like acts like he's like an immature, like idiot with a different, you know, he just goes to parties with like a different girl on his arm every night, and he seems like he does it to be like inconspicuous, like oh whatever, he's just like the billionaire, heir to the Wayne fortune,
right?
But really, he's Batman.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So Lord probably doing a little bit of deception there.
Indeed.
Subterfuge, if you will.
Subterfuge. I guarantee you that's going to be the name of an episode sometime in this series.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah. So I want to go back for a second. Cat Grant is talking about Supergirl, whether she's a miracle or a menace.
Yeah.
And she goes on this big rant, and this is like the, you know, like, you know, maybe she should just leave because she's not doing it right and blah, 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 this whole big thing. Cat Grant is the J. Jonah Jameson to Supergirl, Spider-Man.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's good.
And yeah, she even it's the menace part that really took me
menace,
more than it was the menace part that, you know, J. Jonah Jameson says, oh, Spider-Man's a menace, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And my friend pointed out to me yesterday, now, J. Jonah Jameson, despite all evidence to the contrary, he still says that Spider-Man's a villain, even though we know he's to be a hero.
Right, right.
And that's where the difference lies, which is true. But I thought for more for this particular episode, like, she is still helping and trying to save people. Like, she did put out the fire, and
yeah, she's doing good.
Yeah,
and Cat Grant sees that.
Right,
she doesn't think she's like evil or anything, but she just, in fact, she was she was talking about her in a motherly way.
It's interesting. Yeah. Clarissa Flockhart really stepped it up this episode.
Yeah.
Did you notice that? Like, she was, I don't want to say cartoonish, or she was kind of hamming it a bit in the pilot.
Uh-huh.
But she kind of toned it back for this episode.
Yeah, she was more, yeah, she had more to work with.
Yes, that I also agree with.
Better stuff to work with,
she
too.
She did have better stuff and more to work with.
Because that was exposition, that was establishing the character. Now we're, like, getting into it finally, and we're starting to, like, see the, you know, the depth of the character and not mm-hmm. just sort of, like, on the surface, like, I'm whatever, I'm just, I pout about everything, nothing's ever good enough. Now it's like, oh, I wish I didn't have breakfast with Ruth Bader Ginsburg and get drunk at 9 a.m.
Right. Yeah. That was funny. That was funny. So going back again to that, and we're still in that scene, and she wants an interview with Supergirl. That's
yeah.
like her big thing for the episode. I want a thing, you know, I want an interview with Supergirl. So that, because the planet is scooping stuff, because they're also putting her on the cover. They're putting her on the cover of the newspaper, so that's scooping stuff.
Right, right, right.
So, that being said, she goes to James, and she says, you know, next time you bro hang with your boy in
yes,
blue.
Yes,
and
yes,
my
yes.
first thought was, Superman's bro, Jimmy Olsen.
I yes,
called
we it said
it. I said it, yes. It was right there.
Yeah.
Superman's bro. You know, and he had a couple of nice things to do this episode, too. He had some turmoil. You know, this is his job. He's supposed to be starting new, but he's just basically doing the same thing that he was doing with Superman, with Supergirl. He's doing it all over again.
He's living in the shadow of a hero again.
Yep, it's good. No, that was a really nice thing. We can get into that a little bit later. And so I thought there was a good explanation from James why glasses work.
Yes, I like that,
yeah.
too.
Still doesn't explain why she has always worn glasses.
True, it doesn't. But I did like the, like, people don't believe they're going to see a hero
That's
in
right.
everyday life.
Well, I keep saying that when anybody says, like, oh, well, it's so unbelievable. You know, it's like, well, it's like when you walk by a celebrity. Like, if that ever happened. Like, you know, your
it's
first
true.
Thought is it maybe it is
right.
you know what I mean, like
right.
that's just, you're not quite sure because you don't expect to see them right next to you, and
right you know, especially if they look slightly different
right. you're just not looking for it, you
mm-hmm.
have other concerns in your life than looking for it,
right that said, like it is like I'm Superman fan number one. I've been watching since I was 3 years old. You know, it's still kind of like when you do see the celebrity on the street, you're like, is that, like, you do question it.
Mm-hmm.
But no one ever questions, like, wait, is this? This kind of looks like Superman. This kind of looks like Supergirl. So you have to take that. You have to take that what you're saying
mm-hmm.
and add that to, this is a show about flying people,
right? Yeah.
Let's just like take the, like, what you said, I think, is a good explanation, and what Jimmy said, James said, is a good explanation, and you just have to add to it a little element of, this is a show about flying people. I can believe that glasses are a good disguise in this world.
Yep, I agree. Well, this is the thing. I think I've said this on this podcast before, or maybe I've said it on Beer with Geeks. I can't quite remember. But adults have a problem with fiction.
Yes.
Like, we need everything to be explained to us.
Yeah,
like, there
tied
needs
up in
to
a little
be,
bow.
Right. There needs to be something. Oh, there needs to be a reason for this and a reason for that and a reason for this. And we need fiction to make sense in a logical way. And we tend to confuse the two, the difference between fiction and reality. We confuse them. But children don't. Like, a child isn't going to watch The Little Mermaid and then go to the beach and be like, why are these crabs singing to me?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What would life, what is this? Like, you know, and they don't watch The Little Mermaid and go, crabs don't sing. This is totally unrealistic.
Right.
And they don't
right.
go to the beach going, why aren't you singing? You know, but adults do.
Yes.
Adults, if watching a live action version of, you know, The Little Mermaid, to be like, why is this crab singing?
Yes.
And why is he from Barbados?
Yeah.
Or Jamaica or wherever.
Why is this a Caribbean crab?
Right. Why is he Caribbean, but his name is Sebastian?
Yeah.
Like, you know, all those things.
Yeah.
All those things.
Mm-hmm.
And so, anyway, moving on. So, glasses.
Glasses.
It worked.
You know, you wear glasses.
I do.
You kind of look like that other guy.
I do.
Oh.
I don't know what guy you're referring to.
Neither do I.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So we get the Helgramite.
The Helgramite.
Yes, we get the Helgramite.
Yes. I like the explanation that he's basically a giant insect who can morph into anything.
Yeah. Now, the Helgramite in comics is not an alien.
No.
It's a guy named Roderick Rose, and he kind of transforms into a grasshopper insectoid type thing. So it's a very different version than what we're seeing. It's okay, because there's not a lot of people in the world going, I'm the Helgramite's biggest fan.
Right.
Like, I have a tattoo of him on my shoulder.
I mean, when they announced that the Helgramite was going to be in the show, I was like, I remember the name. And you were like, sort of? Like, neither of us really were...
I've seen the name.
We remember the name. We remembered like something about him, but so like it was fine that they changed the origin because we're not attached to it.
I don't really care. That's right.
Yeah.
And I did very much like the effect that he had, though. His mouth open. It kind of reminded me of the vampires from Blade 2. Have you ever seen Blade 2?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
It's very cool. Their mouth opens and the fangs come down. It was very. I really liked it a lot, and you could see the lines on the side of his face.
Yes.
So, again, this realistic fiction thing where you're like, you can see where the mouth splits open.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Good enough. Yeah.
Works for me.
It does.
It's like the alien dude. Got it.
Indeed. I liked all that very much. Now, I know this is going to be a big deal for you. We got our first Berlanti flashback. Trademark
flashbacks. Yeah.
Flashback. But we get to see Krypton.
Yes.
And not in a weird, you know, space hangar, you know.
Right, right, right. Exactly, yeah. We get to see young Kara reading up on Helgramites. When Allura comes in and
well,
tells
she's
her,
not reading up on Helgramites.
You're right. You're right.
She's reading something else because she's that kid. You know?
She's that nerdy kid.
Yeah, books are for nerds.
That we can relate to.
Just kidding.
I love with books.
Books.
Books, books, mountains of books. Yeah, so she's reading and Allura comes and explains to her exactly what Helgramites are, and she remembers this. And this is what kind of puts it all in motion. The DEO is trying to figure out what we're looking at, and Kara's like, oh, I know this. I remember.
This is a thing.
Right.
I really wanted to talk about Krypton for a second, and you were like, yeah, we saw Krypton, and then he moved on.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Let's talk about the aesthetic choices that they made
on
Krypton.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes. Okay, so we get a little bit, we get a little bit of Allura backstory. Not backstory per se, but we get a little character development from Allura.
Exactly, yes. Yeah, there we go.
Which is good, kind, warm. Jor-El can't cook, you know, obviously. It's so obvious that he wouldn't.
He's a scientist. Scientists eat ramen. They don't cook.
Can you see, like, if it is, like, let's just imagine, like, the Russell Crowe Jor-El or the Marlon Brando Jor-El. Like, on the planet Krypton, we don't cook. Like, just you don't cook, Jor-El. You don't want to stain your white robe.
Whatever.
So, Krypton, I thought the effect of the city and the sun and everything in the back was very good.
Yes.
I felt the living room was very, like, Star Trek Next Generation living room. You know what I mean? It just had that had that feel to it. I was like, I'm watching science fiction on television.
Right.
That's what that room felt like to me. We did get computer crystals. Did you notice that?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the Richard Donner classic. It's been Superman lore for a while.
Keeping the crystal thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's managed to stay, you know, stick around for, you know, 35 plus years.
Well, I think it's one of those things that, you know, like when you see, there's something about science, you know, technology becomes dated so quickly. Like if you watch Star Trek or Lost in Space or something like that, you're like, yeah, that's not how things work. Or you go, we have something that's way better than what you're doing right now already. But there's something about crystal technology. Like, you can't really decipher how it works.
Exactly.
And it's aesthetically pleasing and all these different things that kind of mold together to kind of make it almost as perfect.
It's ancient and futuristic at the same time.
Right. That's good. It's magical, but it's scientific. Quote air scientific.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, all those. I liked that part very much. I hope that it's not every week where it's like you see a flashback in Kara's and Krypton.
I kind of hope we don't either.
And she's like, oh, I remember this thing my mom told me. I'm like, you told us that last week.
Right. I hope it's not like every week, like, new villain breaks out of Fort Roz. Kara remembers something from when she was a kid.
Well, they're all,
Kara beats
them. They're all out of Fort Roz already.
No, I know, but it's not like, you know what I'm saying? I hope it's not like Freak of the Week and she remembers something from when she was 12.
Right.
To beat
exactly.
the villain. Like,
well, I don't think it's going to be Freak of the Week every week because... I won't get there yet.
Okay.
People listening obviously watch the show, so it's not going to spoil it.
But yeah, I do like the look of Krypton. I also like how the Kryptonians like Allura and Astra both sort of speak a little more formally, which is kind of a traditional thing for the Kryptonian mm-hmm. people. Like they're always a bit up, a little more posh and a little more
yes,
and even if they don't sound British, they do speak with a certain gravitas.
The Kelsey Grammer gravitas.
The Kelsey Grammer gravitas. There we mm-hmm. go. The gravitas.
The yeah.
The Gravitammer.
The Gravitammer. No, I'm just going to go Kelsey Grammer. Yeah, okay. Yeah. You're right. And so, but anyway, moving on from there, we get a Kryptonite training room.
Yes.
Which doubles as her fun little fortress room at the end. Did you notice
yes.
that? It's the same room.
Yes, yeah. I did.
I was like, that's the same room.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you know what? They're aesthetically, you know, my rooms look the same in here, too.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's all built that way.
Same in the DEO bunker. It's fine.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rooms look the same. So, but that was fun. I'm curious how Kryptonite works on this show. You know what I mean? Like,
yes. Okay. I have a couple questions about this as well.
Yeah.
Because there were, I'm not going to say inconsistent, because maybe it's consistent for this new version that we're looking at, but. Mm-hmm. She didn't feel weakened until Alex turned on the kryptonite
right.
emitters.
Well, I think the point is that she doesn't feel weak, but it gets rid of her power.
Right. It was a low level enough.
It should just be a red sun.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. But we've seen like a kryptonite room before. Like that's been done in Smallville.
That's true.
Yeah,
but normally they're like, the kryptonite.
Yes, but
this hurts me.
But this was like there was like a dial where she could control. She said it was only 18%.
Right.
So like that's why it didn't hurt her that much because it was
how
low
do
level.
Do that. Yeah.
Maybe they have kryptonite
maybe like
emitters.
Lead filters or something like that. Where sure. Again, the crabs are singing. Just
yeah,
saying.
Yeah. That,
just
that's
saying.
What I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Just
yeah.
Saying. Yeah.
Yeah. You have crabs and they're singing. Right.
Yeah.
So, there was that, and then later on there was kryptonite with Astra, and she didn't feel it like when Henshaw pulls out the kryptonite like dagger, she doesn't feel it until she gets stabbed.
Yep.
But then at the
but then she does feel it later. It's
when
like,
when you
yeah.
get pulled out of her, it's still in the room, and she's like, "Oh, it's still weakening me." I'm like, that doesn't feel consistent.
It's actually funny because I did out loud say they pulled it out of her at the end, and out, and I was like. So she's not feeling that?
Right.
And then she goes, oh, I feel it. Move it away.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, I guess
and even
are.
When it's like far away from her, she's still like, I can still feel it. Like, so apparently in this version, kryptonite only hurts you if you know it's there. And if you don't know it, until you know it's there, you're fine. And then as soon as you find out, you're like, oh, wait, yeah, no, I totally damn hurting. So I can only deduce that all Kryptonians are just faking it.
No, oh, yeah.
Because when they don't, yeah, no, that arm totally does hurt. Yeah,
hurts,
oh,
I can't donate blood.
Or,
like,
or they're hypochondriacs.
Yeah.
Or they're huge hypochondriacs.
Yeah. Maybe
they
are.
I always think they're sick.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You don't know that.
Yeah, maybe they
could be true.
Cryptochondriacs.
Well, the filter thing makes enough sense for me to be like, all right, you need a place for her to train. It's good. It's fine. It's cool. It's cool, even. But. You're right. It's like, although he didn't really. Now he didn't. Let's skip to the end since we're talking about the kryptonite. When Henshaw pulls out the knife and stabs her.
Yeah.
When she says, "You don't have anything that can hurt me," and he says, "You're so wrong," and stabs her, which, badass. By
yes.
the way,
yes,
so badass,
so cool.
Yeah, great moment. And he stabs her in the arm. He didn't really give her enough time to even react to what it was.
That's true.
So maybe she was feeling ill, but didn't like, it's not enough time for me. Like, I feel ill. Hold on. I have to step off to the side for a second to really think about how I feel.
I guess that's
about
true, yeah.
this. You know what
yeah.
I mean? It's not enough time. It's not like he was holding it. And it's probably in some kind of lead thing. So they don't know that they have it.
Okay.
You
fair.
You know what I mean?
Fair.
That's always my assumption. When everyone has a concealed kryptonite weapon, I just always assume that it's cased in lead because that's what blocks
okay.
the
radiation. I can
radiation.
Buy that, actually. I can tell. It's like in a lead sheath or something.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And so, okay, it has been boughten. The lead sheath reminded me, I don't know, going back, when Kara's trying to save the boat and she spills all the oil into the...
Yes.
Which was, one, a good way to screw up because
yeah.
it's an ecological thing or,
yeah.
you know, that's a hot topic right now. And
from superhero to eco-terrorist in
yeah,
a single
that,
bound.
Yeah, that's funny. That yeah. was funny. I liked the effect of her moving the boat.
Yes.
Of like the way she was scraping the metal mm-hmm. and how it was bending and what that was very well done.
I thought so too, because it's never you never really see that. Like it's always like, oh, he picked it up and he did with his incredibly strong hands but didn't crush it somehow. Like,
right, exactly.
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah. So this is good. This is like physics.
A little
this
more realism.
Like you moved
there, yeah.
it like this. My
yeah.
first thought was like, why don't you just push it?
Right.
But yeah. But she might just go right through the hull,
right.
you know, she doesn't
your crabs are talking again.
They are.
Hey, listen, before we move on, I want to talk about somebody else who's awesome. This episode of Super
Bowl... Well, my name is... Oh, sorry.
No, sorry, not... No, you're great, though.
I support this show.
You're great. You're so awesome.
I support it.
We love you.
You can do it for real now.
This episode of Supergirl TV Talk is also brought to you in part by InStockTrades.com and DCBService.com. You know him. You love him. We're so thrilled to have him back again. InStockTrades and Discount Comic Book Service are the best places online to buy your weekly comics and your collected editions. You can always save up to 42% on DC, Marvel, Dark Horse, Image, comic book purchases, and now you could even save up to 70% on some titles as part of their clearance event at InStockTrades.com. Pretty amazing. I always like to recommend a book at this point, and my pick for this week is Superman Batman Volume 1 trade paperback. That includes the kind of the first arc and then the second arc, which is the Supergirl arc.
Cool.
By Jeff Loeb and Michael Turner.
I didn't know we were recommending books. I recommend Lock and Key.
Nice.
Because it's awesome.
It is awesome.
Stephen King's son wrote it.
That's right.
He's pretty awesome.
It's pretty awesome. Yep.
It's put out by IDW.
It's good stuff.
It's not for
good
the
book.
It's not for the faint of heart.
At but
all.
It's a great book.
And
they're
in no
they're
way
both
related
books.
To Supergirl.
Yeah. And you can always get these books like this Superman Batman one, 45% off, $10.99. Awesome deal for two trades in one, essentially for $10.99. Love the Supergirl from Krypton story arc that's in there. Beautiful interior art by Michael Turner. One of the few times he's ever done interior art other than covers. So beautiful, beautiful
for
work.
DC.
For DC, yes.
Specifically.
Yeah. And if you are like us and you like to read your comics digitally, you can actually get 5% back on your digital purchases when you link your Comixology or your My Digital Comics account to your DCBS account. So just be sure to do all your shopping at those sites through the DCBS website, and you'll get credits towards your next DCBS purchase. 5%, not bad. So visit them online at InStockTrades.com and DCBService.com. That's DCB Service, as in Discount Comic Book Service. And we thank InStockTrades and DCBS for sponsoring Supergirl TV Talk again.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. So let's get to the kind of the heart of the episode. So we've got a few lessons being taught here, right? Kat is teaching Kara lessons about about taking it slow and learning curve and all that stuff. You've got
said it, but I wrote take a drink. Ding.
Yep, exactly.
And we get Kat's backstory a little bit. We get a little bit of origin.
Yeah.
We get a lot of origin stories.
A lot of origin
stories.
You notice
that? Yeah. We get a bunch of origin stories. This, you know, I worked my way up from Perry White's assistant and blah, blah, blah. That was really... Oh, is that where she said Lois Lane?
She says that she wants to scoop the planet and she doesn't want Clark Kent and Lois Lane to get another exclusive.
I must have been writing Kat equals indirect mentor.
Okay,
Arrow,
yes.
Real comic origin story.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally, yes.
It's basically.
Yes,
yeah.
I totally agree.
I must have been writing down when she said that, but that's okay.
Yeah, no.
So you're here to tell me things.
So you've got the stronger together theme of Kara pulling together Wynn and James. You've got the stronger together of her using Kat as a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Astra literally saying, we're stronger together to the Helgramites. You've got her working, Kara working more with Alex and relying on Alex as a mentor in that way. So lots of stronger together things here. Even James relying on Kara when he said, he's like, what am I going to do? I can't pull the Superman card already, even though Kat's telling me to. I can't, you know, what am I going to do? And Kara's like, I'll do the interview. I can help you. We're stronger together.
Stronger
House of El symbol means
than yesterday.
Did not think this was going to take a Britney turn, I'll be honest. But the House of El symbol we found out means stronger together. It's, it's a sentence that's their motto as well as their, that's why it's their coat of arms.
Right.
Which makes sense because even here, like, coat of arms have mottos on them. So, like, that checks out.
Yep. She says, that I actually wrote down what the coat of arms means since we're talking about it. It means El Mayara.
El Mayara.
El Mayara, meaning stronger together.
And today on Twitter, Andrew Kreisberg tweeted that he made up that phrase and he just liked the way it sounded.
Sweet.
So
glad that somebody out there was like flipping through every comic.
I know, right?
I'm like, where is it?
It's like, I just wrote it. Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, good. It sounds nice. Yeah.
I know.
I mean, fit the aesthetic of the show.
It did.
What it was talking about. Not the aesthetic, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, fits the whole theme.
Yeah. I like that Kat believes that she has to be tough to prove herself. That informs a lot about her character.
She says women have to work twice as hard to be recognized like half as much.
You know, and she's not wrong.
No, it's true.
And she,
it's like, sad but
that's
true.
It's sad but true. And that's this character gained a lot of points in my book apart from last week, because it was very much like I'm the best and I'm Cat Grant and I'm better than you and blah blah blah, mm-hmm, and she's still like that, but you're giving her reason to be like that. And,
yes, exactly.
Like, she's been burned and now she's got this nice wall up and Supergirl's gonna punch through the wall, metaphorically speaking.
Precisely.
You know, all good things like that. Okay. All Kryptonians have blue heat vision. Can we talk about that?
Yeah, so...
Like, I thought it was a nice aesthetic choice for her last week, and now I'm watching it with everybody.
Yeah, so I thought that it was blue in that moment because it was, like, it was particularly hot, and it was, like, blue hot, right? We talked about how, like, it gets...
Talked about the physics hotter, of right. heat, yeah.
Right.
Physics? But chemistry?
Physics. Stars.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, you know what I mean? Like... That's wild. Like, there's blue stars, there's red stars, and the you know, red is not as hot as a blue star or a white star.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was like a momentary thing, but I guess that's just in this version of the story.
They just all have blue.
That's what it looks like.
I like it.
I think it's got a cool choice.
I think it's got a really cool look to it.
You got the red glowing eyes,
and then it burns.
Yeah.
Red out there. I like it, and it differentiates from every other version I saw, but I just thought for whatever reason that it's like it was just her. And it kind of threw me back to watch other Kryptonians also have that blue heat vision. Again, don't dislike it in any way. I was just like, oh, okay, this is what we're going with. Okay, that's fine. That's cool.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting when Astra and Kara were fighting, how like the heat vision beams like met in the middle, like they were like lightsabers clashing.
Yes. I always wonder, you know, like if I was to stay, I'm standing right across from you right now.
Yes.
If we were to be like, laser vision fight. One, yeah. Two, three, go.
Boom.
Yeah. What are the odds of us actually hitting each other's beams?
Yeah, it's also like...
because...
to get back into crab territory.
Yeah.
It's like, if it's heat, then like two beams of heat wouldn't like bounce off each other like that. But whatever, I'll let it go. Even if it were lasers, like laser is just light. Like laser would just... the beams of light don't like bounce off each other like that either, but... It is what it is. It looked cool. It looked damn cool. This fight scene was the one place where I thought the wire work looked kind of fake. I was like, nah, they're just kind of like swinging back and forth there, kicking at each other.
I thought parts of it, but there were other parts of that fight.
There were parts that looked awesome.
That were amazing. And we're not there yet, so we're not at that fight yet.
Well, okay, fine. But yeah, like let's talk.
Major deja vu.
let's talk real quick about, because the only like I think story beats that we've really missed so far are the Wynn and James stuff.
Yes. Yeah, we can go back to that. I just wrote down classic pet save. LOL.
Oh yeah, the snake.
The snake named
Fluffy.
What
was the snake Fluffy?
That was great.
I loved that.
That was great.
Snakes. Why'd it have to be snakes?
Okay, so let me go through these things a little bit so we can get to this fight.
Okay, cool.
We're running out of time.
Cool.
Kara and Alex have a heart-to-heart. Do they have that every episode? Is that going to be the thing that we do?
True, it is two episodes and two heart-to-hearts like that, yeah.
It's going to be two things. Okay, just checking. How many conversations does Kara spy on with her super hearing? Because she listened in on the conversation with Kat and James.
Yep.
And I was like, how often do you do that? Like,
more than you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Why does the director of the DEO, Hank Henshaw, go out on missions? You're the director. Why are you going out on missions?
He's just so down with the people.
Your
you know?
Job is to sit behind the desk and like order people around. Why are you out there shooting a gun and like driving the car? Like,
I want to point out, he was the head of the CIA in Homeland, and now here he is.
I know, yeah.
Head of DEO.
Doing missions.
Oh, yeah.
Jimmy Olsen's origin story, comic accurate. Ching.
Yes, true.
Alert and Astra are twins.
Yes.
Ching, which is cool.
Yes.
Which, I mean, it's the same actress, so Avi.
But it's still cool.
I can't read my own handwriting. So anyway, we're at the fight now, so it doesn't matter. Okay.
Tim reading his own handwriting corner.
Super hearing comes with... something
cool.
Addresses. It comes with addresses.
Addresses.
That's what I wrote because she was listening for Alex gets captured, right? And so she's listening.
Oh,
for her, and she's like,
I see.
I got her. She's on the corner. Blah 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 blah. And I'm like, but you just heard that.
Yes.
You didn't see her. So like, how do you know that address?
Right.
Super hearing comes with addresses.
Okay.
That's just...
Fair point.
Yeah.
Fair point, good sir. Did you notice, by the way, since we're speaking of addresses, there was like Donner Avenue.
I did notice that.
And
the chemical plant is the creator of Supergirl there.
Yeah.
Plastino.
Al Plastino.
Al Plastino,
yeah. Yep. Plastino Chemical.
Yep.
Yeah. There were at least one other. Somebody tweeted at us this week. I wish I could remember who it was. I apologize if you're listening. Tweet at me again, and I'll make sure you get credit. Somebody tweeted at us and pointed out that there was a Gates and Igel in the pilot, like a street corner of Gates and Igel. Yeah,
I missed that.
Yeah, me too. I totally
watched
missed
that pilot like five times.
I know.
It's ridiculous. You watched it 5 times. You watched it without me.
I think I must have watched it like 5 times.
You watched
it
without me.
Yeah. I watch it with you once. Dude.
Podcast over. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. We only did watch it once. Together.
Yeah. But yeah, someone did point that out. I thought it was pretty cool. So they've been doing a lot of the fan service, little subtle ones.
Indeed. So this fight, there was one part of the fight that I thought was amazing, and it's when Astra punches Kara into a beam and the beam bends. In the wall, that effect was magnificent.
It was perfect. Yeah,
it was awesome. It was a perfect blend of CG. It was a perfect blend of CG
and practical. Yeah,
and they did that. There's a lot of nice like moments where she gets hit and they fly and they're on the ground and they get around this idea of like high special effect by quick cuts and the way that they do super speed and
yes.
it's really well thought out mm-hmm. all the way around. Mm-hmm. It's interesting that we're introduced to Astra and Supergirl right off the bat, but now we also know there's another villain in the shadows. We don't know who it is. I'm calling Maxwell Lord right here. Cha-ching.
Mm.
But it's very interesting. It's very interesting that we get what we think is the big bad, and then we're immediately like, no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. True. Couple quick notes here that I took down. Purred happily is National City's newsman. Did you notice that?
I did.
From Parks and Rec. That was incredible. I heard his voice early in the episode, and I was like, that's funny. It kind of sounds like Purred Happily. And then they showed his face later, and I was like, oh, my God.
My friend, while we were recording this, my friend Dan literally texted me, Purred Happily is in National City.
Yes.
In the middle of us recording this. So, hey, Dan.
But, awesome. Yeah. That's beautiful. Yeah, so Purred Happily was one thing. We got a little hint of Henshaw's tortured past.
Yeah, I liked that.
Kara asked him,
to have a family.
Right. Yeah. There's also, like, we're already going to the very classic.
He's also kind of sassy.
He's kind of sassy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we also have the classic kind of super scenario of the hero's loved one being kidnapped, right? It was Alex that they kidnapped and not anybody else.
But she takes out Helgramite.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And then she was,
She said she's got. She knows what
she can take care of herself.
Yeah,
girl can take care of herself.
Yeah, she didn't need to be rescued in the same sense.
She's not a damsel in distress.
That's right.
In any sense,
that's good.
Correct. And then Astra doesn't just want to kill. She's here to save Earth.
Aren't they all?
But she specifically said she doesn't just want to kill humans. She's here to save us. So I wonder what that means. Does that mean making us all slaves into a new Kryptonian colony? Like, what does it mean? What does it all mean, Tim?
I don't know. Don't know. It's point. She did say that she's here to save everyone, but that's like one of those like the hero, the villain always thinks they're the hero of the story.
Yeah, that's true.
That's just the classic.
It's true, but it does hint at like what is her plan? Like what does she consider saving the planet? That's what
right.
I would like to know. I'm just curious because it is hinting at something.
Indeed.
Yep.
We're in the time. So
we're
we'll,
good.
I'm bringing it upside down. So we're at 96 minutes, right?
No, not quite. No.
Oh.
Let's roll through. So we've got Astra still able to fly with the Kryptonite dagger. We talked about that already.
Mm-hmm.
That sometimes the Kryptonite seems to hurt. Sometimes it doesn't. Not totally consistent. I like that Kara remembered. She remembered Kat's lesson about like, you know, I'm not gonna do this alone.
Right.
And she also remembered Alex's lesson about like how to fight, use the other person's strength.
Yeah, that
against
was good.
Them.
That was nice. That was a nice toss.
We talked about it last week. like she was getting her butt kicked mm-hmm. by Vartox, right? It just completely, she couldn't fight. And here she got the fighting lesson she needed.
Yep. And but Alex even said in the show exactly what I said last week, like, your swing is way too
yes.
big. Like,
yes.
yeah, just leaving yourself wide open for an attack.
Exactly.
Quick jabs.
Exactly. So at the end, we get that little, fortress room thing.
Yeah, we get our fortress little room with a crypto ghost, Ching.
Yep.
You know.
So
classic Superman mythology.
Exactly. Yeah. I think this is going to be her Fortress of Solitude.
Inside the DEO.
Yes.
Which is fine. They did say that Superman has a Fortress of Solitude. They did say Fortress of Solitude.
Yes, they did.
How does the DEO know that?
That he has that?
Yeah.
Because they know everything, man.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay, great.
They know everything.
Yeah, all right, that's fine. Just seemed like a play Superman sharing information like that. But Superman also sat down with Lois Lane in his first interview. He's like, well, these are the things that can hurt me in numerical order.
Yeah.
You know, like, so.
Magic, kryptonite.
Yeah. Superman, not the smartest guy always. Really smart, but not always
very
the
honest.
Smartest.
Just too
yeah.
honest.
Yeah.
But I did like that. I think that she will probably be going to Allura for help. For advice.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? Because she asked for already for, like, tell me what you know about Aunt Astra. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be a
it's good.
Source
I,
of knowledge.
I actually liked her switch on that because she was like, can I ask for a hug?
I know.
And he was like, I'm not programmed to do that. Yeah. And she's like, fine, screw it. Then tell me about my Aunt
Astra. Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, fine, I'm going to be tough now. Like, it doesn't matter. That's yeah. fine. I'm over it.
It was
so I'll just hug nobody because I'll kill them if I hug them too hard.
Right.
Yeah. she just goes to, like, a... I don't know, like a glacier tries to hug the glacier. You're the only thing that won't break if I hug you.
Ooh, polar
yeah,
bear.
Yeah.
Henshaw's glowing red eyes.
Yeah, all right. So I have a couple of ideas
okay,
about this.
Hit me.
One that was very cool. I actually rewound it just to watch it. And so a couple theories. One, that's not him.
Mm.
Because it's not Hank Henshaw. Because he has this whole thing in the beginning about not calling her Supergirl. And then he says, well, it's a Supergirl save the day or whatever. And Alex says, I won't tell you said that. And he says, I appreciate that. And then walks away. Maybe that's not him.
Maybe
he got replaced or something like that.
So it's not character growth, not him getting fond of her. It's just someone else.
Maybe it's somebody
okay,
else.
That's
totally.
One theory. I like that.
Theory number two. He's already a cyborg. He's already Cyborg Superman.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yep.
That thought came to me, like, maybe this is the beginning of his transition. Something is already happening to him that's...
Or maybe he's already... Maybe he's like a Terminator.
Ooh, okay.
You know, like that style. Like, you know, fleshy flesh on top and
right, okay.
metally metal on the bottom.
Part of the bottom.
Yep. And so, scientific terms. And Maya thought... I just threw this out to my friend to annoy. I was like, Martian Manhunter. So, obviously, the Martian...
Somebody else said
yeah,
that on Twitter, too. They were
obviously the Martian Manhunter. He's like, it's not the Martian Manhunter. I'm like, oh, but it is. Oh, but it is.
Yes.
Wouldn't that be kind of cool if the... I don't think it is, but how cool would it be if the Martian Manhunter was like, yeah, I run the DEO where we hunt down other aliens because he's the Martian Manhunter. That's awesome.
If Hank Henshaw is the Martian Manhunter, that is like the most brilliant deception.
It's a brilliant deception.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be amazing. I'd be totally on board for that.
That's a cool credit.
What greater way to do your job than to, like, run the organization that is supposed to do your job. Like, you know, so...
No, it's true.
I don't think that's it. I don't think
so either.
No.
But that is a cool idea. I think it's more likely that he is either is or was infected or is, you know, being you know, occupied by someone who is either from Fort Ross or something like that, and they are using the DEO to get rid of their enemies... Like, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. DEO is,
right.
is the enemy of his enemy.
But the Helgramite wasn't an enemy.
We don't know that. We don't know what this, whatever. I'm saying, just go with this theory, total
okay.
theory.
Yep.
If this person maybe has something against the Helgramite, has something against everybody, he just wants power and needs to kill everybody else so he can reign supreme or whatever it might be.
Right on.
It might mean fighting Astra as well.
Yeah. Okay.
You know? Or he just has to kill the Helgramite to keep up the appearance that he's from the DEO. That, you know, whatever that pans out to be. It could be something like that, where he's being taken over by some other entity or replaced by some other entity.
All right. I accept that. I accept your premise, and I wish to subscribe to your newsletter.
Thank you. Oh, that's right. Well, subscribe to my podcast. That'll do it.
Yeah, good.
If you guys have theories on that, I actually really want to hear some of your theories. We'll read them in follow up next week. Your Henshaw theories of why the glowing red eyes.
Mm.
What else?
And then, well, the very end is just the Astra. It's then Astra with the mysterious person who we already kind of talked about.
Yes.
And so nothing else really. Something.
Who do you think that is?
Maxwell Lord. I shouted it like 5 minutes ago.
Okay.
I don't know. I really. That's just my.
Maybe.
That's the only thing I have to go on because I have an assumption that the show is going to make Maxwell Lord evil because humanitarians are evil in the comic book universes.
So you're not concerned with the fact that he didn't look like.
You didn't see him.
Sure he did.
No, he didn't. He was all in shadow.
Yeah, but you saw his face. You saw his body.
I saw his. No, I didn't see his face.
Sure he did. It was in shadow, but like not. It wasn't completely in shadow.
No, like your, I can see your face right now.
Okay,
like I did not see his face.
Okay, you could see enough to see that it's a different
sound,
actor.
It didn't
right?
sound like him. I will totally grant you that.
Okay,
maybe it's not. Maybe it's Zod. I don't know.
So like that.
Maybe it's Non.
Zod or Non crossed my mind.
Yeah, more okay. Non because I know he
because
we've
heard he's going to be in the show.
Right,
Non crossed my mind for that reason.
Yeah.
And they did say he's not going to be the same kind of Non we've seen before.
Then maybe he's Non. That would be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I thought Non yesterday.
Okay.
And Maxwell Lord was what I thought of today because we only like saw him crop up this like one little time. It would make more sense for it to be Non.
I'm thinking it's Non.
Yeah.
I am. Not just because I love Non bread and it's a delicious, delicious kind of bread, but because...
you're so funny.
I know. Dead jokes. Dead jokes all around.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm going to say, I'll go with Non.
Yeah.
Yes, cool. Indeed. And then we get this little cat on the way to Supergirl interview because maybe she remembered the good advice and she was like, you know what, I owe you. And I owe James. All these different things and all that leading up to a nice little interview where her car suspension will be broken.
Yeah. You know what's funny? She got in the car. And she didn't even notice there was no driver in the car.
Yep.
And I'm sure the driver who was like back on the ground is like, oh my God, I'm so fired.
Yep. Oh, absolutely. Abso-frickin-lutely. Yep. Poor guy.
Oh man. Poor guy.
Talk about the trailer for next week.
Sure.
We saw a little bit of stuff to come, not too much.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be an expose on Supergirl. Looks like it's going somewhere like that. We see Reactron as the villain, which is cool.
Supergirl.
Blah, blah, blah. Interesting that we got Reactron. I thought they like hold him back
a little bit.
But
early on.
Early on, which is cool. And we got the line, stop telling people who you are.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm interested to know who else is going to find out.
I want
to
ask her if she can go and say that to Oliver Queen.
Stop telling people who you are.
God, Oliver.
Oliver hasn't told anybody who he was this
in like 6 months.
Yeah, it's a really long time.
I know.
He's
a lot of restraint for him.
That's longer than I've told people who I am.
That's true.
Hi,
and you wear glasses.
Tim. I do. Exactly. My point.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Point taken. Right.
Yes.
Here's the point is well seed.
Yes. Yeah. You made that joke last week.
I know.
Yeah.
It's still relevant.
Yeah.
Related. Well, Tim, it's been a blast. Anybody who wants to find us on the internet, please follow us at TV Supergirl on Twitter. I almost said at Beer with Geeks. That's our other show. Find us at Beer with Geeks. That's a great show that we do every week. At TV Supergirl on Twitter, SupergirlTVTalk@gmail.com, SupergirlTVTalk.com. Those are all the best places to find us. iTunes. If you use the Overcast app for podcasts, please just go ahead and swipe to the left and leave us a recommend. Click that star button to recommend us. Those really help a lot. iTunes reviews also help a lot. Ratings and reviews. If you want to just leave us 5 stars or even write a little review, we appreciate that. Tim, you have one?
I have.
Oh-ho.
I have a couple, actually, that I'd like to read.
Let's go ahead.
I have Up, Up, and Away by McMerlin. What? I haven't written a review yet. Well, here it goes. Listen to these guys. Seriously. These guys from Beer with Geeks offer the best offering for Supergirl podcasting and DC TV talk out there. Great interviews, great rapport, and a healthy serving of super family knowledge. Keep going, gentlemen. Scott from the Suicide Squad cast.
Thank you, Scott. So. Scott and Tim from the Suicide Squad cast are good podcasting buddies of ours, and we appreciate that.
Yep. I also have one from, actually I have one from Tim, I would assume, right under it. I can't get over how great this show is by Alan Fire, which is, we know to be Tim.
All right.
I started listening to Supergirl TV Talk when it launched several months back, and now that the TV series is finally here, the show is even better. That much Nope, I read that wrong. The show is even that much more fun to listen to. Frank and Tim have a great banter throughout, and this will become a must listen to show for you. That's okay, Tim. We won't judge you for your grammatical error.
I thought it was like the polarity was being reversed, like Tim reading a Tim review.
Yeah, I can't handle it. And I have one more review. 5 stars, 2 exclamation points from K Woods 89. Absolutely love it. Simple, to the point. I also love the review.
Thank you.
Thank you, K Woods.
Thank you, K Woods.
Thank you, everybody, for your charming and lovely reviews, even those of you who just left with 5 stars. That really helps.
Yeah,
us
that
get
helps
out
us
there.
A lot. That helps us a lot. We are in the top 50 TV and film podcast on iTunes, and that's because of you guys. That's because you're listening.
Amazing.
That was a huge honor for us. We want to stay there, so
my mom was very proud.
My mom was proud too. Please, you know, listen to the show, but do send us those ratings and reviews, because they help a lot and they help get us out there. We're the number one Supergirl podcast on iTunes, and that's because of you guys, so thank you so much. Number one on the Overcast app as well, so all because of you guys. Thank you so much, and we'll be back next week to talk about yet another installment in the Supergirl saga.
Indeed. Okay.
Bye, guys.
Until next time.
Up, up, and away.